Chapter 59, Remedies for Tepidity. Christ said, "My child, it is a sad sight for me to see men living disorderly lives. I made them for eternal glory. Little do they realize how harmful it is to neglect their daily duties or to perform them carelessly. Pay attention to thy purpose in life and keep before thy mind the image of thy crucified King. Consider my earthly life and blush if thee are not doing thy best to imitate me. Thy loyalty and progress in serving me ought to improve each day. Nowadays it is considered a great thing if one man can just hold on to some of his original enthusiasm. A person is considered great if he merely avoids evil, or if he can be patient enough to endure life's daily burdens. Greatness lies not merely in avoiding evil, but especially in doing good. It grieves me to see how half-hearted and negligent so many people are, how quickly they lose their devotion and grow tired of the higher life because of laziness and spiritual tepidity. May thy desire to progress in virtue grow greater every day. Study the holy examples of my saints and learn to appreciate their continual loyalty to me. Think, if I thought more often of death than of a long life, I would be far more eager to advance in virtue. Occasional thinking about the reality of hell and purgatory will help me to bear the labors, sorrows, and hardships of daily life. No longer would I love flattery and praise, nor would I be so lazy and half-hearted in serving Christ my King. I ought to think often about his life and make it the model of my own daily life. Pray. My Savior, each hour of the day is an important part of my life. Whether I am at work or play or rest, I can do these things in a holy way or in a sinful way. Each hour brings its chances for patience, kindness, unselfishness, and other virtues. If I am half-hearted, I will not make the effort needed for acting as God desires. I can cure this disease by spiritual guidance, variety in prayer, meditations on your life and sufferings, and frequent use of the sacraments. My Jesus, give me the grace to do whatever I need to avoid tepidity in my daily life. Amen." Chapter 60, Evil Thoughts. Christ said, "My child, do not be troubled if thou art visited by evil tendencies or strange imaginings. Keep thy resolutions firm and thy intentions clear before me. Thou art not suffering from illusions, even though at one moment thou art full of spiritual desires and joy, and then shortly afterwards thou art back in thy foolish ways. Some of thy defects are to be borne patiently for my sake. I will not hold them against thee. In fact, they bring thee great merit as long as thou art truly displeased with them and refuse to consent to them. I permit the devil to wander over the earth. He is continually trying to kill thy desire for me. He tries in many different ways to draw thee away from every holy exercise. He can hurt thee only if thou follow his suggestions. In his attempts to draw thee away from me, he studies thee to see where thou art weakest. Satan suggests evil thoughts to cause weakness or despair. He would like to draw thee away from all prayer, holy reading, or any good work. He dreads seeing anyone make a humble confession. If he could, he would stop thee from receiving me in Holy Communion. And yet, in spite of his frantic and constant efforts against thee, he is helpless if thou decide to stand by me with faith, hope, and love. Despise the enemy and fear him not. Fix thy attention on thy daily occupations. Follow my words in thy daily life. Seek grace and inspiration by prayer and meditation. Think often of my life. Honor my saints. Recall and detest thy sins. Watch over thy desires, thoughts, and intentions. Make thy resolutions, renew them often, and do thy best to follow them. Trust in my wisdom and love for the rest. Think, I do not think that I am less loyal to our Lord when I have lost that feeling of devotion which I desire to have toward God and His saints. Holy feelings are a favor which God grants for a moment. They are a short foretaste of heaven. They are not meant to be a permanent gift in this life. Therefore, I must not depend on them. My true virtues and merit are best known when those feelings are not present. In everyday humdrum activities, how well do I fulfill my duties? What kind of resistance do I offer to my unreasoning tendencies and desires within me? How devotedly do I try to please God in all things? The devil has not a chance against me if I am really doing my best. Pray. Dear Father of Light, when my mind is overclouded with confusion or anxieties, grant me the light of your grace, so that I may fix my eyes on your truth and walk safely toward heaven. In your church I will seek your guidance as you desire me to do. All the powers of hell are helpless against me if I will only be wise enough to seek your truth and use the strength of your holy sacraments. Amen. Chapter 61. Fear. Christ said, My child, in many a trial and trouble I come to thee and ask thee to believe in me. Put thy confidence in me and prove that thou mean it by refusing to worry. If thy trials were not good for thee, I would remove them at once. Do not be frightened. Why worry about coming events? Take care of today's problems and leave tomorrow in my hands. Many of tomorrow's troubles are only in your imagination. How do thou know that thou will live another day? Did thou ever stop to think of the numberless things which can prevent the trouble which thou fear? Lastly, remember that nothing can happen without my consent. Place thyself in my care, and fear nothing. The devil can easily make men think wrongly when they live on their feelings. He appeals to their likes and dislikes, and so corrupts their ideas of right and wrong. He gradually guides them as he pleases. His slaves walk blindly along the road to hell, controlled by their feelings and drugged by their imagination. Thou will never make this mistake if thou art guided by reason and faith. Listen to my voice coming to thee through my church. Follow my words. Keep thy eyes on me. Do not let the world blind thee to my presence and my love. Fear not, I am near thee. With me, thou art walking toward eternal life. Walk bravely, and follow my will in all things. My peace will be with thee. Think. Imagination and feelings rule the lives of many. As a result, they fear and avoid a number of things. They do not think with their intelligence, but with their feelings. They exaggerate the unpleasant so much that they cannot bear to face it. They are slaves of their fears. I must let my intelligence and God's grace bring light and freedom into my daily life. I'll listen often to His words as He speaks to me through His church and through grace. By doing this, I will be free of many fears. Pray. Lord, what have I to fear? You know all things and foresee everything which is to happen to me. Nothing can happen without your consent. You will never consent to anything which is really bad for me. Knowing all this, can I have anything other than peace in my daily life? Let me not offend you by a lack of confidence. I trust in you. I will do my best to remedy whatever difficulties arise, but whatever be the results of my efforts, I will accept them as your holy will. In your all-wise and loving will, I will find my peace. Amen. Chapter 62. Despair. Christ said, My child, when temptations persist and keep returning, do not despair. In all real needs, I am always near and ready to help thee. I will give thee my grace and whatever else is necessary for thee to keep out of sin. Do not fear or worry. Keep thy courage high and be prepared to go on fighting thy temptations. Thou art not lost because thou art tempted often. Thy human inclinations do not always follow reason, and so they provide many a temptation to sin. thy first step toward safety lies in realizing thy weakness. Secondly, do not become discouraged by temptations. Simply keep on doing thy best to turn thy mind and will toward other objects. No temptation can make thee sin. How often it happens that someone is making his greatest progress at the very time when he thinks that he's slipping. I look at thy intention and thy effort. By these I judge thy loyalty to me. Go on trying for my sake. Do not consider thyself a failure simply because thou feel like one. Be brave and follow me. I have overcome the world. With my help, thou shalt win the daily battle for heaven. Think. The tendency to give up is in all men. To overcome it, God gives us the virtue of hope. Why despair? All is not lost just because I feel that it is so. God wants me to hope in His mercy and trust in His love. Temptations may come and go. They may even linger for hours and days. But it is my will which decides what I really want and what I am in the eyes of God. Pray. My God, I want to obey Your law and follow Your will in all things. Though my feelings may reach out for what is bad, help me to do what is right and good. Give me a glimpse of Your wisdom so that I may see more clearly what harm and evil is in all sin. If I should fall in a moment of weakness, let me not despair. I hope in Your mercy. I trust in Your goodness and love. Never will I think that my sins are greater than Your mercy. No matter how bad I have been, Your goodness is great enough to forgive me. Give me the wisdom and strength to hate all sin in the future. I shall not despair, nor will I be discouraged by my mistakes. Help me to fight an honest daily battle against all sin. Amen. Chapter 63. Vain Hopes. Christ said, My child, some men depend too much on human help or earthly remedies. They forget that every earthly thing is in my hands, and that without me nothing is of any help. Worldly men trust mainly in their own talents and possessions, or in the power and help of their friends. Money, health, reputation, friends, admiration, superiority over others, these things seem like treasures to worldly men, yet these things are not really as valuable as they seem. I am the treasure which brings peace and everlasting joy. When thou have me, thou have the one treasure which cannot be taken from thee. Hold on to me by faith and loyalty. Do not depend too much on human beings or earthly helps. Thy greatest hope should always be in me. My love for thee will help thee to save thee where human friends fail and earthly things are of no assistance. Think. A man who lives only for what this life can offer him is due to face great disappointment and bitter self-reproach. The things he depends on are short-lived. When his earthly life is over, he will see what a fool he is. Jesus alone can give the unbounded love and joy which the human heart craves, but the worldly man will find that he has lost Jesus. Pray. My Jesus, in you I place all my hopes and desires. To you I offer all my sorrows, trials, and disappointments. Let me never treasure what can take me away from you, nor desire anything which can keep me from doing your holy will. No friend nor any created thing can take your place in my life. Stay with me and teach me how to live my life in union with you. Enlighten me, strengthen me, and correct me, so that I may seek you first and love you above all else. Amen. Chapter 64. Worldly Prosperity. Christ said, My child, at times thou feel that thy earthly life would be much easier if thou did not have to follow my law. Worldly people seem to enjoy themselves so much without bothering about me. Do not be deceived by appearances. Their life is not as desirable as it may seem. True, they follow after pleasure and forget themselves for the present. In everyone's life, however, there arrive moments when his thoughts turn to himself. One is bound to reflect sooner or later on the shortness of earthly satisfactions. The man who has forgotten me will look back and see all his pleasures and joys at an end. Never again will he look forward to happiness. Even while enjoying this world's lower good things, the worldly man has his share of worries, bitterness, and fear. He knows the meaning of disappointment and failure. As smoke disappears quickly in midair, so too will earth's joys vanish. Often enough, earthly pleasures cease pleasing even before they've been lost. What was supposed to bring happiness too often brings sorrow and disappointment. Many a prominent man of the world ended his days in bitterness. How sad to see young people looking forward to joys and satisfactions which older worldlings have already found too brief and disappointing. Blindly and foolishly, youth runs after the pleasures of earth, forgetting about the only lasting joy, heaven. Falsely, they reason, why think now about heaven or hell when death is still so far off? Think, what fools we humans are. We think straight on so many things, but when it comes to thinking about eternity, our thinking slows down or stops altogether. To get a clear idea of the shortness of earthly pleasures and joys, I need only to look on the happiness of last year, or even last week. It seemed so all-important then, but it is now faded and gone. Will I ever have so much esteem for that kind of prosperity and happiness that I would sin for them? Would I risk the never-ending and perfect happiness of heaven for such brief and incomplete happiness? Only a fool would hesitate at such a choice. Pray, my loving God, you want to give me the very best, the all-satisfying happiness of heaven. You do not forbid me the enjoyments of earthly life, so long as I use them intelligently and rightly. What you forbid is my foolish love for what is wrong and unworthy of my human dignity. Grant me a love for your wisdom, and let me follow your will in all things. You alone can give me the perfect, unimaginable happiness which will fill my soul with eternal joy. You ask me to prepare myself for it by a life of goodness and wisdom on earth. I hope in your help I now begin again, dear Lord. Amen. Chapter 65, Desire for Human Appreciation. Christ said, my child, some people are anxious to make a good impression and to be esteemed. Others have a strong desire for many friends. Though these things are good, to seek them too intently is dangerous. Such a desire can make a man more eager to please men than to please me. Though thou owe every man a reasonable consideration and respect, thou owe me far more. When people expect thee to do something foolish or downright sinful, rise above all human consideration and remain loyal to me. In thy daily life, treasure my love and friendship above all else. If thou art wise, thou wilt avoid anyone who draws thee away from me. Sometimes thou do to thy neighbor more good by not letting him know thee too well. Familiarity may show him faults and defects which he had not suspected of thee. Because of this, he may lose the inspiration which thy words and examples had previously given to him. Thou need have no fear of being a hypocrite, as long as thou art really trying to become as good as others think thou art. Too often people will judge thee more by thy failures and weaknesses than by thy efforts and ideals. It is foolish to fix thy heart on human favor and approval. What others think of thee will often depend on what they themselves are, or on how they feel at the time. Human favor is not always based on truth. For my sake, give due consideration to every man, but do not seek human admiration and appreciation. Sometimes it is best to avoid human attention and to seek me in solitude. The praises and admiration of men can turn your head to thoughts of pride, vanity, and foolish self-satisfaction. Some think thee better than thou really are, and others think thee worse. I know what thou art and what thou art trying to be. Think, One who is eager to be understood and appreciated by men is a weak man. In this life, God alone esteems me as I deserve. His judgment of me will be known and accepted by all men on the last day. The secret of true greatness is to follow God's will in all things. I need not care for a single instant what any man may think or say. Nothing on earth is more foolish and empty than the unkind thoughts and rash judgments of human beings. Pray. My God, human judgments depend on so many changing circumstances. I can never hope to please you and still please everyone else in this life. Let me never needlessly offend any human being. Yet, when it is a matter of doing what is right, let me not fear human opinions. Your judgments will stand before all men and angels at the last judgment. I want your approval of my life because your word is truth. Amen. Chapter 66, Foolish Pride. Christ said, My child, whatever good things thou possess, do not think too highly of thyself. Let me be thy greatest treasure, and let everything else take second place. Whether thou be rich or powerful or popular or attractive, remember the plain truth about thyself, and thou wilt not become a victim of foolish pride. Whatever good is in thee, it belongs to me. The things of which men so often boast are mine. They consider themselves better than their neighbor because of some talent, ability, or circumstance which I placed at their disposal. I could just as easily have given these things to those who are at present less gifted. Do as much good as thou can in thy daily life, but beware of becoming proud of thy deeds. Without me, thou can do nothing. If thou consider thyself better than others, thou art certainly a fool. I can make anybody and everybody else thy superior, if I so choose. Think. If God has numbered the very hairs of my head, how can I think highly of myself? I am completely dependent on Him for my next breath. This knowledge should make me fear all pride and self-satisfaction. I can never be impressed deeply enough by the fact of my nothingness. Of myself, and without God's gifts, I am nothing. This fact is the basis of all true humility. Can I ever consider myself better than any human on earth? How do I feel when others look down on me? So too do others feel when I show a sense of superiority. Even if I do not show it, God sees my pride and hates it, because pride is based on a false self-esteem. Pray. My God, lover of truth, only you are great by your very nature. All other greatness, virtue, and goodness are your gifts to us. Have mercy on this proud heart of mine. Please impress me with the truth of my nothingness. Then will I at last become kind, considerate, and charitable to those around me. Grant me your grace, dear Lord, and I will never again, in thought or action, raise myself above anyone else. In gratitude for your many gifts, I will try to spread your goodness by being good to others. Kill the pride within me, even if you have to humble me before others. Only spare me the terrible humiliation of having the whole world see my ugly pride at the last judgment. Amen. Chapter 67, Self-Deception. Christ said, My child, thou have no idea how easy it is for men to deceive themselves in this earthly life. Many think that they are living a good life simply because they are performing a few external works. They go to church once or twice a week, say some prayers daily, and commit no public crimes. Yet I am displeased with them. In their everyday life, they live as though they depended not on me, but on themselves alone. In a crowd, they are not particularly noticeable for their patience or kindness or sympathy or unselfishness. Many are too interested in following their daily occupations and interests to bother how I want them to follow these things. They do not deny my wisdom in theory, they simply disregard it in practice. They act as though I did not quite understand their daily problems. Actually, it is they who do not understand their daily problems. If they followed my words, many of their difficulties would cease being problems. Some people are afraid to apply my words to their everyday life. They are afraid of losing some worldly advantage or earthly enjoyment. These are the people who want to get to heaven with the least possible inconvenience to themselves. They work, sweat, and suffer, and sacrifice for their earthly interests. Their only check is their fear of hell, not their love of me. Some people worry their way through life. They do not realize how very interested I am in their daily life, how very dear they are to me. They act as though I were not interested in their daily needs and difficulties. Too seldom do they think of my nearness, power, wisdom, and love as they go about their daily business. True, a number of these people are being blindly and foolishly selfish with me. Still, this is not the case with all of them. The real reason why many give me a partial loyalty and do only part of what I command is that they do not see how my words are to be applied in their daily life. They read, "Thou shalt not kill," and then in the same scripture they read how I sent my chosen people to make war on their enemies. They find mysteries and apparent contradictions in the Bible, and so, in their confusion, they make up a religion of their own. For this reason did I establish my church. I gave my apostles and their followers the power to preach my truth to all, and I promised to be with them until the end of time. With my help, my church will interpret my words and commandments. I did not intend that man should have good will and still go on in doubt, guesswork, confusion, and fear. Think. There is no reason for self-deception in my following of Christ. I can learn His will through His church. If my strength fails me, I can double and triple it over and over again through the sacraments. My daily life proves how true are my faith in Jesus and my love for Him. Am I one of those whose lives proves them atheists or selfish followers with weak faith, feeble confidence, and cool love? Pray. Jesus, my King and Lord, how much more must you do to prove to me your wisdom, power, and love? I want my daily life to prove that I believe in you, trust in you, and love you above all else. Help me to learn more about your religion so that I may appreciate it better. I hope to make better use of your holy sacraments so that you may give me the strength to do what my natural strength can never accomplish. You want me to give you an intelligent service and loyalty. I want the same thing. I hope to begin today to follow you to heaven. Amen. Chapter 68, The Virtue of Self-Distrust. Christ said, "My child, as long as thou art on earth, thou cannot be certain of thy true worth. Only after death will thou know everything about thyself. Each day thou wilt learn more about thyself, even things which thou do not now suspect. Every man is something of a mystery to himself. In every human heart there is plenty of room for self-deception. The intention which thou claim may not be the real reason which moves thee. Deep within thee there may be other reasons, selfish, worldly reasons. Because of this truth, I want thee to develop a healthy self-distrust and a supernatural trust in my help. No matter how holy thou may feel, never trust thyself too far. Refuse to rely on thyself alone. Without me, thou art nothing, and without my help, thou can do nothing worthy of heaven. Thy first reaction to this truth might be to worry about thy salvation. I have no desire to alarm thee, nor do I wish to make thee an abnormal, self-centered person. I simply want thee to live according to the truth. I did not die on the cross that thou might be lost, but that thou might gain heaven. Thou must do thy part in this plan. Make a sincere intention to obey my commandments in thy daily life. Prove thy sincerity by an honest daily effort. In any doubt, consult my church for direction. After thou hast done all this, place all thy hope and confidence in my love and mercy. My saints were truly wise in their suspicion of self. Realizing that eternity awaited them in heaven or hell, they were determined to take no chances with self-deception. They overcame it by a holy self-contempt and self-distrust. They did this in an intelligent way. They fixed their eye on my boundless perfection, the passing nature of earthly life, and the folly of losing heaven's eternal joy and glory. This vision convinced them that I deserved the best from them, and that their best was all too little for me. They made doubly sure of their unselfishness with me by avoiding many things which self desired and by embracing many things which self disliked. Even while practicing all this self-denial, they continued to pray that no self-deception might remain in their souls. They made frequent acts of hope that their good works, penances, and prayers might be acceptable to me. Without worry, fear, or foolish distress, they admitted my infinite goodness, confessed their weaknesses and littleness, and appealed to my mercy and love to help them gain eternal life. Think, how true! So often when I thought I was doing something for God, I became angry, spiteful, or uncharitable towards those who interfered with my plans. The fact that I lost my self-control was proof that I was not working for God at all. My worst enemy is within me, this blind, puny, selfish self. Only when I act for God alone will my action be at its best. I must pray daily with humility and with hope that I may overcome this contemptible self within me. It deserves contempt because it opposes God's wisdom and goodness. I should treat this self as though it were a child which needs to be trained. Then I should proceed to train it daily by acts of unselfishness and self-denial. Pray, my God, the wisest men of all times are your saints. You were the object of all their desires. Everything else was secondary. I too desire to place you first in my life. In order to do this, I shall have to control this blind, self-seeking self within me. You want what is good for me, not just a temporary good, but what is best for me forever. In following self, I shall lose you. Oh, let me make efforts to be sure that self shall never control me. I want to practice my prayer, unselfishness, and self-denial in my daily activities. I shall seek greater strength in your sacraments. Let me treat this foolish self within me with the contempt it deserves. This will be much easier if I keep my eyes on your wonderful goodness and love. Amen. Chapter 69, Interior Honesty. Christ said, my child, when I give thee heavenly light and strength, do not become proud and self-satisfied. Remember how weak and miserable thou art when thou art without these gifts. One who is overconfident when matters are going well often goes to the other extreme of discouragement, sadness, or fear when temptations and difficulties come. Be convinced of thy complete dependence on me. Without me, thou art nothing. A deep appreciation of this truth will help thee to control thy thoughts and desires. It will help thee keep strong in time of temptation, so that thou wilt not fall so easily into sin. Fight like a good soldier. If thou should fall through weakness, pray for greater help and rise with more determination than before. Beware of self-satisfaction and pride. These two evils lead men into error, and sometimes make them incurably blind to their faults and failures. Learn thy lesson from the downfall of those who foolishly trusted to their own ability. Let it be a warning to keep thee always humble. Think, God has a definite plan for me, a plan which is mainly concerned with my eternal salvation. At times he gives me an interior joy, peace, and eagerness to do more good. At other times, he takes away these interior gifts, and I feel dejected, dull, perhaps even sad and discouraged. A level-headed person tries to live a balanced life without giving in to his moods and feelings. When God sends him spiritual light and joy, he tries to enjoy these gifts with self-control, remembering that shortly he will experience spiritual trials which will take away this present enjoyment. So too, in time of trial, he reminds himself of the joy which he had previously and will have again in due time. Such a person avoids extreme changeableness and the undependability of those who act on their feelings and moods. He is reliable both with God and with his fellow men because he seeks to keep control of himself, whether he feels himself raised up in joy or submerged in spiritual darkness and sadness. Pray. My God and Creator, the truth is that I am completely dependent on you for all things. Without you, I am nothing and can do nothing. If I admit this dependence on you by my daily life, I shall become truly great. Make me honest enough to live according to this truth. I hope to strive harder to please you with my daily occupations and activities. I will refuse to become proud when I enjoy your gifts, nor will I become discouraged when you take your gifts away from me. You have reasons for the way you treat me. I hope to keep my mind on your boundless wisdom and love, whatever happens today. Whether I enjoy peace or suffer trials, I want my loyalty to your holy will to remain unchanged and unwavering. Amen. Chapter 70, Temptation to Presumption. Christ said, "My child, the devil tempts thee to the sin of presumption in two ways. He does it either by suggesting that my mercy will easily spare thee from the punishment due to thy sins, or by convincing thee that thou art strong enough to face any temptation. He is the father of lies and the arch deceiver. My mercy is above all my works, but it does not destroy my justice. Though I suffered and died to obtain pardon for thy sins, thou must also do thy part in the work of salvation. Have faith in me, obey my church, do penance for thy sins, and avoid the near occasions of sin. Only if thou do thy part will thou receive my mercy. Once thou art called by the angel of death, the time for mercy will be over. Then thou wilt meet only justice. As for relying too much on thy own strength, remember thy complete dependence on me for each breath, each heartbeat, each second of life. Whoever thinks himself independent and strong is a fool. He who loves danger shall perish in it. If thou presume too much on thy strength, thou wilt find thyself weaker than thou ever expected. When I give thee interior light and heavenly strength, do not be too ready to make them known to others. Remember thy unworthiness, and thou wilt make better use of my gifts. Thou wilt use them gratefully, humbly, and carefully. Think. Presumption is a fool's dream. Man is nothing if God abandons him. One who is convinced of this complete dependence on God is safe from the sin of presumption and from many other sins. He works and does his best, trusting in God for the necessary strength. When he succeeds in anything, he gives thanks to God. If he fails, he offers God his intentions and his efforts. I should look to God in all things. By being truthful and honest with myself, I will avoid the sin of presumption. God will grant me light and strength to walk daily toward eternal life. Pray. My God and my all, bestow on me the wisdom and honesty to admit my nothingness. Let me do this not merely with words, but especially by my daily actions. Let me not pretend to be bigger than I really am. I will never again try to do what is above my strength. As far as possible, I hope to avoid all occasions of serious sin. Those who presume on their own strength and wisdom are in danger of falling away from you. I desire only that I may daily do my best for your sake. Amen. Chapter 71, Folly of Overconfidence. Christ said, My child, beware of overconfidence. It can hurt thee badly. Never be satisfied with thyself, but try to become better each day. The only man who is safe from serious sin is the one who fears it. Thou art very weak. The lightest temptation would conquer thee, were it not for my grace. Do not take chances. Avoid every occasion of sin, whether it be a person, a place, or a thing. The saints, with all their virtues and penances, did not trust themselves at all. How can thou take chances with all thy faults and weaknesses? He that loves danger shall perish in it. If thou want to gamble with thy soul, remember that thou thyself art the stake. Thou wilt be lost forever in hell if thou die in mortal sin. The only security from hell is a life of continual effort against thy faults and weaknesses. Pray often for strength, and avoid all near occasions of sin. Think. The security of sinners arises from presumption, pride, and spiritual blindness. Eternity is never-ending. The very possibility of losing heaven is a terrifying thought. That's why the saints refuse to take chances with temptations and sin. The reward which God will give to his loyal followers is too grand for any description. So too, the eternal state of the lost souls is more terrible than I can even imagine. I cannot afford to take chances in my daily life. I may hope in God's mercy and help, but never should I presume on his goodness. God is kind in every way, but he cannot tolerate presumption. He will not take me to heaven unless I have done my part to gain this glorious privilege. After I die, his infinite justice will treat me as I deserve. Pray. My loving Father, God of truth, let me see how truly wonderful your plan of salvation is. To every man you give many opportunities to rise above this visible earthly life with its limitations and passing satisfactions. All of us are given the grace to develop a supernatural life of virtue. Each one has the opportunity to share your divine wisdom by following your will. Your grace gives us a heavenly strength to rise above the forces and attractions of this world. Whatever I achieve on earth, let me always remember that without you, I am nothing. To you be all thanks, praise, and loyal service each hour of the day. Amen. Chapter 72, The Danger of Overconfidence. Christ said, My child, the security which my saints felt was always tempered with a healthy fear of my justice, but the security of worldly men arises from their pride or presumption. Such men have succeeded in deceiving themselves. They would be horrified if they could see the indescribable risk which they are taking. I want thee to have a normal, healthy self-confidence, but to be sure that it is based on facts. One fact is that without me thou canst do nothing. Self-reliance is good only when it comes from a strong confidence in me. The self-reliance and overconfidence of worldly men comes from a mistaken idea of their own greatness, or from a selfish notion that I will pardon them regardless of their faults. Then again, some feel that they are strong enough to face any occasion of sin. At times, those who were most respected and admired by men were in great danger because they forgot their human weakness. Temptations are no sin. In fact, they are often a blessing in disguise because they help men to realize how weak they are. Still, to place oneself in temptation is folly. He that loves danger can only blame himself if he perishes in it. No man can afford to take chances in the matter of temptation. Thou wilt have enough to do simply fighting off the temptations which come uninvited. Do not trust thyself too far, or thou wilt be placing thyself in temptation. At the conclusion of the music, please go to side B.